Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, for Theresa May, it's been a whirlwind of a week, and many asking, is this the end of the road for her? The British Prime Minister probably faces a vote of no confidence this evening after postponing Tuesday's Commons vote on her Brexit deal with the EU. So what has actually led to this situation in the first place? Now, the confidence vote throws into turmoil her programme of discussions with EU leaders, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, about how a deal can be tweaked to be more palatable to the UK Parliament. Online to give us her thoughts, we have our regular political commentator Susan Phillips. Morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning, Wendy. I don't think I'm ever going to be surprised or shocked at new news if it concerns Brexit. It's quite extraordinary.
It is hard to keep up, though. Tell us what's been happening in the last 48 hours.
Well, we kind of do have to go back, because earlier in the week, Theresa May, what the expression is, pulled the vote for her Brexit deal, which was scheduled for last night. And she stood up and she was in the House of Commons. She was jeered and sneered at. It was actually completely disgraceful the way she was treated, because you can have a view. Well, apparently you can't have a view these days unless it's everybody else's. But it was very unseemly. However, she stood up and she said that she was pulling the vote, which was to ask the Parliament, would they let her Brexit deal go through? And she said, if we went ahead with the vote tomorrow, this is what she said on Monday, the deal would be rejected by a significant margin. So that was quite an admission. And then she talked about a new date and that she would try and tweak areas where she had to. So that was followed by her setting off. I mean, she is unbelievable. You know, you and I, Wendy, we could say, well, we'll go to Berlin and on the way back we'll just pop into Amsterdam and then that evening we'll go back to Brussels. But we don't actually do it, but she did that. She set off immediately to meet Angela Merkel, the Dutch MP, some in Brussels. And what she said was, she said, I want to exchange some side declarations which would pledge that this backstop, which is contentious, we can go back to that, in the withdrawal agreement, could be slightly amended to allay the fears of people in the UK who think that a backstop means a continual tie from the north of Ireland to Europe. So she said, I know I can't renegotiate it, but I'll go and try and tweak it. But in the meantime, there was like this surge of people in Westminster on all sides just going against her. And then suddenly, Wendy, you know all about this 1922 committee, which if the chairman of it, and it's pretty secret, but if the chairman of it says that he's received more than 48 letters from conservative names saying they want to have a re-look at their premier, i.e. get rid of her, that he has to go ahead and make a public vote. And that's actually what happened late last night. So this poor woman, I mean, she is the most tenacious woman. Whatever you think about her negotiating skills, she's standing outside number 10 this morning. You probably saw it, putting up a fighting response.
Yes, she was extremely, strong, fierce, defiant in the speech that she gave this morning.
I mean, and she said, and this is where she was so clever. She said her main argument is that she can make tweaks and changes. She accepts that the Irish border clauses have caused a lot of disarray. She says, I can tweak that. But she said, it is the best deal. And then she said, why tear ourselves apart going through a torturous process of picking a new leader?
And what do you think about that, Susan? I mean, if there is a no-confidence vote this evening, what happens next? And if there is a new leader, is that necessarily actually going to make a difference to the issues that we face with Brexit?
There's so many angles to look at it, because if they have a vote tonight and she survives it, nobody can challenge her for another year. So everybody has to realise that if there's an election coming and tonight she's kept in place, she's kept in place for, if you assume there would be an election within the next year. So, Wendy, just have a little look. Say she loses tonight, then you have probably a 6-week process to choose another leader. And who would you go for? Would you go for the Jeremy Hunts, who is present foreign secretary? He says he'll back her. Or would you go for the Boris Johnson, the Rees-Moggs? What would you do? You can imagine the wrangle, can't you? So you've got this wrangle for, say, another 6 weeks, and all the while at the end of March is coming along, which is the date when there has to be an agreement on how Britain leaves the EU. Otherwise, there's no agreement, and it's called just a, it all falls to pieces. And suddenly one morning you wake up and the UK is out with all the complications at the ports and the standards and the customs. So that's one thing.
Did you do the right thing postponing the vote, Susan? A lot would say, why are you just kicking the can down the road?
Well, you could say that, but you see, you look at Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell, and they're very much a partnership. They're sitting on the sidelines, the Labour leaders, and they're, what do they do, Wendy? Do they risk tabling a motion of no confidence if Mrs. May loses tonight, or even if she doesn't? They could table something saying, we don't think her policies have got any support in the House, we think it's time for an election. Do they do that? And they can't necessarily do that because the Labour Party is as divided on Brexit as the Conservative Party. As I say it every time, you've got West Hartlepool versus Northern London, both Labour constituencies, both differing. Or could you have a situation where the whole of Parliament says, let's have another referendum? And if they said yes, would the referendum be, do you want to leave or remain? Or would the referendum question be, would you like to accept Mrs. May's proposal, the one on the table at the moment, or would you like a hard Brexit, or would you like to remain? And all the while, Wendy, you've got the Leavers, the Remainers, and the middle people.
So in terms of Ireland, Susan, where do we stand in all of this?
Well, we stand that, first of all, on a practical level, Mrs. May was coming to Dublin today, and why was she coming? Well, I'll tell you exactly why she was coming. She was coming to see our Taoiseach and also Simon Coveney, and she was going to ask them, could we just tweak this border, this little bit of a backstop? Could we tweak it so that the voters in Parliament have not got this absolute fear that Northern Ireland will be kept part of the EU, not in the UK? And could we just tweak it? Because it says that in the event of no future trade deals emerging, that there would never be a border. But you see, if you had, say, Britain leave, and you're negotiating and you're saying, what about the tariffs on Volkswagens? What about the standards of the pharmaceutical products? What about petrol? And you're going through all these various areas and you're saying, what would the tariffs be? How would we move goods across? Now, of course, the possibility is, the very strong possibility, that there'd be a really good trade agreement. Why not? It's worked so far. You know, it's not all the same. Petrol's a different price up there. So if it all worked out, you wouldn't need a border. So the backstop says, if you couldn't come to some conclusion with moving goods backwards and forwards, Northern Ireland would stay within the EU customs union. And this is the bit that absolutely grips the unionists, who say, ah, well, instead of them saying, but that'd be the best of both worlds, they're not. They're saying, oh, so you're saying we're not part of the UK anymore. So you could say, Wendy, you could definitely say that the DUP are going to be severely judged by many Northerners for not seeing the advantages of Northern Ireland being slightly in and slightly out. You see what I mean?
It's one of those things where it's impossible, I think, for Mrs. May to keep everybody happy. It's just not going to happen. Finally, just to ask you, Susan, what do you think is going to happen with the vote?
Well, I would imagine that the chaos which could ensue if she loses will mean that she'll actually win the vote. I think she will win it. Is her credibility even more damaged by the being a vote, or could she argue that she's had a vote, she's proved her support is in the majority, she goes back to Europe, she gets some assurances on the backstop, maybe just words, and then she continues on to have her exit deal passed, and everybody looks back and says she was the most incredible woman with everybody barking at her heels. I just don't know. I think she will win it tonight.
Be interesting to see if you're right, Susan. As always, thanks so much for joining us on the programme this morning. Our political analyst there, Susan Phillips, giving us her thoughts on the fate of Theresa May and all that's been happening in the last 2 or 3 days. At this time of year, I'm sure you've already probably noticed, there's a lot of extra traffic on the road and probably people making journeys they don't usually make, you know, travelling to different places, do a bit of Christmas shopping or visit relatives. And perhaps you've got plans to do long journeys over the Christmas period, visiting family across the country. Well, in addition to this and trying to stay safe on the roads at this time of the year especially, there's also been a report that has highlighted I can't get over the figures. One in eight people have admitted to drink driving in the past 2 years, many of which are a younger generation. You would think that the kind of various education campaigns and that have been done over the last number of years would have impacted that age bracket. Online to tell us a little bit more about this report and indeed just giving us advice on staying safe over the Christmas period, we have Conor Faulkner, Director of Consumer Affairs for AA Ireland. Conor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Wendy. Hello.
Okay, so what are the main messages, the main things people need to think about for driving safe on the roads this Christmas, as opposed to other times of year when we're trying to stay safe all the time, of course?
Well, yeah, exactly. Drive carefully. It's Christmas. I mean, careful driving is for life, not just for Christmas, to coin a cliche. But it is a time of year that is particularly associated with drink driving, and hence the Gardaí are on a blitz. If you're in Dublin, people will have seen Gardaí deployed on corners, etc. So they're there to assist the traffic and also just to up their visibility, and they are conducting breath tests and speed checks. So more Garda presence out there in the roads. I wish we had it all year round, but it's definitely there. For the motorist, the reason behind that is obvious, and we know when we poll Irish motorists, they're very, very supportive of additional policing and more Gardaí, because we know that despite all of the lessons we think we've learned over the last 20, 25 years in developing road safety, our main killers are still speeding, drink driving, and failure to wear seat belts. And they're almost inexcusable in this day and age.
The big three still haven't changed. Why is that, Conor, do you think?
Well, I suspect, Wendy, human nature doesn't change as the years go by. I think the typical motorist is much more bought into road safety these days. So if we look at the landscape in Ireland 20 years ago and compare it to today, we have made enormous progress. And that's to everybody's credit. But the total number of people killed on Irish roads is only about 30% of what it was 20 years ago. So that's fantastic. But even within that, the stubborn problems remain stubborn. And you have individual drivers simply taking risks, not appreciating the danger, and at this time of year, willing to take risks with alcohol. So it is a little shocking and that, you know, that there can be such a stubborn core to the road safety problem, which despite our efforts, we haven't fully solved. But I think to give ourselves a little bit of credit, enormous progress has been made, and it's a much, much better country in that regard, with much higher standards than used to apply. But you know, the old problems simply haven't gone away.
In terms of just the drink driving at this time of year, I know there's two elements to this, because one is obviously getting into the car after, you know, having a drink that night. But are people aware, Conor, of the risks of the morning after the night before, that there, if you've had a lot to drink, there can still be alcohol in your system, coupling that with perhaps that you're very tired if it's been a late night and you're at work the next day? Are people aware of the dangers there?
Well, I think people are aware of it, but you know, it's quite an Irish thing. They're sort of much more willing to forgive themselves for drinking and driving at that time of day than they might be at other times, even though every bit is illegal. So if you come out of the nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning and you congratulate yourself for being a good citizen and taking a taxi home, if you're in the car driving into work 4 hours later and you have that horrible hungover feeling, it almost certainly means you're still above the alcohol limit, and it's every bit as big an offence, and yet people don't appreciate that. Now, the Gardaí are conducting alcohol checkpoints in the morning commute, so the danger of being caught is real, and we know from experience that you are far more likely, just in human psychology, you're far more likely to convince a driver that they're going to be caught than you are to convince a driver that they're going to be involved in a crash. There's just something about the way our brains are wired that leads us to believe that won't happen to me. I'll be okay driving home, I'll be fine. But flashing blue lights really do make believers of people. So I think we do have to improve our discipline there, not only on the nights out, but also on the morning after. And, you know, I have this conversation, Wendy, often enough with radio stations and with AA members from rural Ireland, for whom it's a much greater issue. Here in Dublin, there are public, we give out about it, but there is public transport. If you're out on a late work night, get the bus in the next day, you know, arrange a lift, do something different. In rural Ireland, often that's not a choice that you have. And, you know, unfortunately, that means that drink driving tends to be a little worse in rural Ireland. It doesn't mean that people are worse or characters are different, but it does mean that the absence of alternatives means people are more likely to be tempted.
The interesting thing about this report that the AA did in relation to drink driving, Conor, was the numbers that were a younger generation that that were found to be over the legal limit.
Yeah, I was a little depressed by that myself, to be honest with you, Wendy. I mean, this is a regular exercise that the AA conducts. Anybody listening to us as an AA member probably be familiar with it. I'm sure they've received them from time to time. We send out detailed questionnaires to AA members, and we ask them for their views on a whole range of subjects. So when I go off and give out to Shane Ross about X, Y, or Z, we know we're not just looking into our heart. We're basing it on what motorists really think and believe. So amongst the questions that we asked in our most recent batch of polling, we asked people if they have ever themselves knowingly took a risk with drinking and driving and drove a car when they felt they might be over the alcohol limit. 1 in 8 motorists said that they had done so in the last 2 years. There was a bias towards young motorists, which again was a little depressing. But if you look into a little deeper into that, there are more lessons that we can learn from it beyond the shocking headline. I mean, one thing is, while drinking and driving is deplorable, you're talking here about individuals who felt they might be slightly above the limit and took a chance. The days of people drinking crazy amounts with complete impunity and driving home because they just don't care, those days, I think, are, if not behind us, certainly the problem is much smaller than it used to be. But people taking risks when they might be over the limit, as opposed to driving when thoroughly drunk, that is still there. There's also an interesting one which is particular to rural Ireland, and that is when individuals accept lifts from drunk drivers. We've had conversations with people, again, AA members, who have said that, you know, they were out for a social night at a nightclub. You now get to 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and the designated driver who promised he would be sober is clearly drunk. What do you do?
Don't get in the car.
Easy for you and I to say
that,
Wendy,
from
this position. But if it's 2:30 in the morning, there are no taxis to be had, it's a wet night in rural Ireland, and you're 12 kilometres from home and you're a girl on your own, you know, it's not easy to moralise in that situation. Inevitably, many of those individuals wind up accepting the lift. And that is, you know, the gateway to disaster. And I can't truly blame the girl who accepts the lift. I think the fault lies with the designated driver who promised he wouldn't drink and then did. But that is quite a common phenomenon, particularly in rural Ireland. And to my mind, the solution to all of these things, or at least the best countermeasure that we have, is not so much an appeal to conscience, but flashing blue lights. Give us flashing blue lights in the car park or the nightclub, and that phenomenon goes. People simply won't do it. So I think we have to invest in, look, it's old-fashioned, it's low-tech, it's relatively unsexy in political terms, but you've got to invest in and back the Garda Traffic Corps. You've got to give them tools and resources and manpower and enable them to be out and about enforcing. And really, that to me is much more important than coming up with tougher laws or inventing new laws. Shane Ross at the moment wants to make the speeding laws even tougher than they are at the moment. I don't really have an objection to that, but I'm worn out praising changes to the law. We've already got law that's as good as anything on the planet.
That's part one, but part two is it actually has to be enforced.
Well, absolutely. And without doing that, it's just ink on paper. And worse than that even, there's an element of virtue signalling. Look how much we care about these things. We've done really, really tough laws. But you have to judge people by their actions, not by what they say. And if you judge Ireland collectively, and I don't mean any particular criticism of Shane Ross. In fact, to be fair, I know firsthand that Shane Ross is genuinely sincere on road safety. He truly does care about it. I've looked him in the eye and spoken to him about it, both before and during his tenure as Transport Minister. So I believe him, and I think his heart's in the right place. But it's more important in terms of achieving our objectives that we actually have enforcement out there. And if you look at the additional Gardaí that we're seeing on the streets of Dublin in the context of the Christmas rush, that's brilliant. Everybody's commenting on it, but it's only giving us the level of policing that they consider normal in Sweden, in Britain, in Germany, in Denmark, in Australia. Those countries that do really, really well in road safety, they police those roads with that vigour all year round. We seem to have a burst of enthusiasm when the when the Christmas decorations are up, and then
we need it all year round is the message.
Exactly.
Just
yeah.
finally to ask you, Conor, just for people who are going to be doing, you know, longer journeys and, you know, visiting family across the country, we've obviously mentioned speed. Seat belts is an easy one. Just wear them. End of story.
Exactly.
I can't understand that one. I feel almost naked if I'm not wearing my seatbelt. It's just such
Absolutely.
A habit for me. So what would be your advice there just for people to things for them to think about before they go on those journeys?
Well, you said it yourself as you're introducing the piece, Wendy. It's a time of year when people often do unusual journeys. So where previously you might just commute in and out and then do a little bit of local pottering around and drop the kids to their football match, at Christmas time you might be driving across to Galway to visit Granny. So the roads tend to be full of people doing unusual longer journeys. We'll get a little bit of congestion on the Friday as we break up. There'll be a bit of a rush getting out of the cities. But generally speaking, roads will be busier than you expect, weather will be poorer than you expect, and drivers might be a bit less disciplined than you expect because they're on unusual routes. So the countermeasure to that is slow down. Most important safety feature in a modern car is the driver's right foot. Slow down. Take about 5 or 10 kilometres per hour off what you feel is your natural speed and take it easy. And then allow a little bit of additional time for any long journey because you might meet some traffic.
Especially if you've got kids in the car.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're driving across to Galway with the kids, budget in a stop. Where you can get out, stretch your legs, have a cup of coffee. The kids can, you know, run off a little bit of energy, and then you can reimpose that family discipline, and away you go again. Look, we've all done it. Mine, thank God, are adults now, but this was just a lifestyle for us when the kids were small. And you have to set an example as the driver. So if you don't wear your seatbelt, there's no way you'll get a seatbelt on them. But if you have the car as a place where, you don't have to be a tyrant, but it's a place where there's proper discipline and the kids must behave. And sure, they grow up used to that. It won't feel strange to them. And it really is important in terms of keeping everybody safe.
Conor, some great advice for us this morning. Thanks so much for joining us on Spirit Radio. That's Conor Faulkner of AA Roadwatch, just telling us about a recent survey that the AA did in relation to drink driving and also giving advice on staying safe as you're driving this Christmas. If you want to get more details on the AA, of course, their website is theaa.ie, and they've got a blog on there as well, which you might want to check out. Time now for our Prayer Coach series to continue today. And we're going to be talking today all about the reason for the season. We're going to be talking about Advent. Well, what is Advent all about anyway? What should we be thinking about at this time of year in the lead up to Christmas? And also, I think a lot of people use kind of December, January. You might be reflecting on the year that you've just had, thinking to the next year that is to come, please God. But what sort of a difference would it make if we viewed the past and the future through God's eyes, through Jesus' eyes? How would that make a difference? That's some of the things we're going to be talking about today. And our prayer coach this morning is Father Michael Hurley, parish priest of St. Martin's Parish in Talla in Dublin. Thanks for coming in to us, Father Michael.
Thank
you. How's your Advent going so far?
Well, it's going.
It's going.
It's going, yeah.
That's a short answer.
It's like when I'm asked just before Christmas, you know, or coming up to Christmas, you know, are you ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
And I never really know how to answer
that
question. Like, what does it mean? Does it mean I have my tree in place? Or does it mean that I have already baked my Christmas cake? Which the answer is very easily to say no. But, what does it, you know, are you ready for Christmas? Because I always suspect this, in my head anyway, I like to think that there is a deeper reason for Christmas. Well, I know there is a deeper reason. So am I ready for that deeper reason?
Do you think we need to bring it back to the right focus? Because it is really interesting. I ask people that myself. Mm. Are you all set for the Christmas, as
yes.
you call it?
Yes.
And that we tend to think about the superficial things. Yeah. Have we got the presents? Have we put the tree? Yeah. Have we ordered the turkey? All that sort of stuff. But what about thinking about, are we ready for Christmas?
Exactly.
So what does that mean?
Exactly. It's whatever people make it mean, you know. I suspect that they're... Well, just listening to the comments of people, I hear three reactions, at least three reactions to Christmas. One is, I can't wait. It's my favourite time of the year. And normally they will, not always, but normally they'll have children. Children will be somewhere around, you know, maybe grandchildren or one's own children. They bring a life and an excitement and almost a reason for Christmas. Then there's another one who's another reaction. I hate Christmas. I dread it. And going with that, there are thoughts like, you know, maybe memories of childhood and those days are past, and maybe some tragic event happened in the family in the last year. So that's another reaction. And there's another reaction which says, you know, it'll come anyway. It'll go anyway. You know, it'll pass me by. So those are kind of reactions. And what meaning do we bring to that? And I suppose it's for each person to determine what meaning do we really wish to give to Christmas this year. It's very easy to let the religious sense of Christmas slide away. That's my own sense.
And what impact do you think that has, Father Michael?
It diminishes the meaning of Christmas. That's what it means. That's what I think it does. That it takes away the richness of it, because then it's about whether I've sent out all the cards and then checking the list of the cards that I've got to make sure that I have sent out the ones. Now that's exaggerating maybe a bit, but it's also real that we can stay at the surface level of Christmas, but there is a deeper level, and for me it's about how I can touch in to the mystery of God's love for me, because that's what's at the core of it. God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God sent his only son out of love, so that not to condemn the world, but that the world will find life. Now, even thinking of that particular sentence, Jesus came not to condemn, but to bring life. Am I going to miss the opportunity of finding the life that he desires for me this year? And that's the question. You know,
how do we seize the opportunity then?
How do we seize the opportunity? Well, I think there's a number of things we can do. Create a time, a space, create some way of thinking, of remembering why Jesus came. Remembering the promises that were made coming up to his coming, that he will be a peace, bring peace. Remembering also the year that has passed, and that comes easy for some people. They love to remember back over the year. But what difference did Jesus make during that year? Where did I see the touches, the indications of his love? And I think that they may surface if we give them time. There may have been a decision that we made, and for whatever reason we made it, we just happened to make it. We thought it might have been too big for us. But we made it, and it seems right, and it worked out. It may have been a time of trial, suffering, death, and wondering how I could get through this period, and looking back and saying, yeah, God must have been part of it. You know, and sometimes there are felt senses of God's grace and God's presence with people. So it's remembering. It's also knowing the longing that's in our hearts. What really is life about? What really should be important to me? Where are my roots? Where are my roots? What gives me strength? When I peel away so much of the things that I'm engaged in, where are my roots? Recently I heard a lovely, I had a lovely experience of a young lady. She was in her late 20s or maybe in her 30s. But she came to me at an event that we had recently, and she just came up to me quite, you know, I knew she was pleased to be present. And next thing she gave me a big hug and she said, I'm back. I'm home, and it's great. Now, I had spoken to her a few times during the past year or 2 years, but what she was saying to me was that she had found a place where she belonged. She had found her roots. She had found her home. And for me, the home must be linking in with that love that God has for us. You know, and that's a longing that if we again give it, if we again listen to our own beings, we'll find a longing for something more, a longing to be home.
It's a really lovely story, definitely one I can identify with, and that feeling of perhaps something we need to remind ourselves of. If we have been away from our faith or away from God,
as she had been,
God always wants us to come home. Yeah. You know, he always is there with open arms. Mm-hmm. How can people use Advent and preparation for Christmas as a time to, you know, I think a lot of people maybe are listening to this chat saying, I love the sound of all that, but I don't know how to get there. It's like, I don't have the directions, you know, but I do want to go home.
And I suppose that's a personal journey. You know, I suppose what I'm saying this morning is simply remember your past. Remember the moments of God. If you can, you know, try to get space. Try to get time. Try to discipline oneself to get that time. It can be on your own, quietly. It could be going into a church. It could be going to some place that you link with switching off in life. But giving it time. It can be attending church services. You know, that's a great place to think, to remember, even if one doesn't fully maybe know what's going on or fully believe it. But you're in the company of people who are reflecting and thinking, and just to use that time to remember and to know what your own longing is.
Very beautiful advice this morning. And very apt, I suppose, at a time when for some people listening, Father Michael, they mightn't have been to church in a while, and Christmas is a time to reconnect. And I often hear friends or family saying, I've really enjoyed going to Mass at Christmas or the carol service in the local church, and why not use it as an opportunity to, you know, reconnect again.
Exactly. And I'd give another thought as well. Jesus came not to condemn, but to bring life. Let that be a motto for Christmas. You know, we're following in his footsteps. If we approach life, approach people, approach the public issues which tend to come in at us from a negative way, but if we can take his style, what he did, we will come not to condemn, but to love.
It's a very beautiful thing to really simple, but it's also just very powerful to reflect on. You've been, as always, a wonderful prayer coach, Father Michael. Thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio as our prayer coach this morning, Father Michael Hurley.
Thank you.
Well, if you are like me, you probably have one or two more Christmas gifts to buy. So this next slot is going to help you out, especially for the gadget lovers in your life. And we've got loads of gadgets and gizmos in front of us and really great gift ideas. The guys outside, I mean, I've been working diligently here in studio doing my interviews, and I look outside the studio and basically all the Spirit Radio staff are just having the crack with some of the things that my next guests have brought into studio with me today. It's great to have Eamon and Dermot Kelly of Be Cool, the gadget store, and they are in Dundrum in Dublin, in Dundrum Shopping Centre, and also in Jervis as well. So thanks for coming in, guys, because I know it's a busy time of year for you both.
Yeah, you're welcome. Nice to hear again. There's actually
so many things to choose from that I'm not really sure where to start, but I'll just pick up the biggest box that I can see first. So one of the things that the guys have brought in is called Grow It. So tell us a little bit about these.
So the Grow It is a nice and a lovely little gift pack. It's only €15, but it's like this one you have there now is the chilies. So it's a grow it your own chili.
So basically it is having your own little mini organic garden at home.
Great for the office or anywhere.
Everything is in the kit. So it has, I've seen these things before. They look like kind of little pots, and you put in the compost essentially. Yeah. You just add the water and it kind of expands.
Seeds. Yeah, yes. they just grow, as it says, grow it.
So even the non-green fingered people of this world, such as I, you literally put the water on the seeds and then away it goes. And it's all cool because it's all quite sustainable and stuff. The growing pots are made from coconut husk, and they, as I say, expand when they're actually added water to. So you've got Tabasco chili seeds, habanero, jalapeno, scotch bonnet. Okay, really spicy nice stuff, basically. So whenever they do grow and you chop them, don't rub your eyes before you wash your hands. But they have some interesting ones as well. Carnivorous plants. Tell us about this one.
The carnivorous, that's like a Venus flytrap.
Yeah, that's what
it looks like.
So
that's the one that eats the flies.
So, will it eat the fly? It is a Venus flytrap.
Yeah, it will actually, yeah. It'll grow.
It's not a vegetarian.
It's not a vegetarian. So, if there's flies in your kitchen, it'll actually eat them.
Yeah, so that'd be a great one to do with the kids as well.
Kids would absolutely love that. Yeah. It's a really cool present for people with kids or for yourself to watch something grow. It could be something that you can even have in your office or whatever.
On the desk.
And, of course, we're always talking more about growing our own.
Exactly.
And there you go. Yeah. Grow my own peppers. So the next time now, I'll have grown them and cook something with the peppers. That's step two.
That'll be nice.
That's the next accomplishment, isn't
it? This thing looks very interesting, so I have picked it up. It is called a nano presso. Explain. It's an orange cylindery looking thing. I'm afraid to press it that I might. I don't know.
Yeah, you can just twist that. Dave.
Okay,
yeah.
So what is it?
That's your cup. So basically, it's a portable espresso machine.
For on the go.
Basically coffee lovers.
Yes, exactly. Coffee
How
lovers.
How does it work then?
Well, you put your pod. Coffee. Yeah, no, it's not a pod actually. That comes in an accessory now. This is an improvement on the mini presso now. So this is the next one they have. So it's do any coffee you want, and it basically makes your espressos. But you can add the NS to it as well to use the Nespresso capsules.
So you can use capsules or you can use
just the ground coffee.
Turn it on, press the button, now it comes.
Pump.
That's a pump actually. Yeah. So it actually goes up to a pressure of 240 PSI.
Wow.
So apparently the coffee from, I'm not a coffee drinker.
240 PSI, I'm guessing that's a lot.
Yeah. Apparently.
Okay. I believe you.
But it's supposed to be lovely, the coffee out, and it's supposed to be really nice.
You know, you really should have made me a coffee to taste.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
I'll let you do that there, after the chat, and I will report back.
Eamon will do that.
Okay, so the other part of this is the Wacha Nano Presso. So that's basically added onto this, and you can put the capsules into it. So if you're on the go, I actually think that's brilliant.
Yeah, great for camping, or if you're just out and about for the day and you just want to have a cup of coffee, you know.
If you're camping or you're going away, I often go to my mum and dad's mobile home. You don't have to bring the whole Nespresso machine with me or whatever. Or there's lots of people in different work situations where they're working on building sites or different things like that, and this would be very handy to have.
Exactly.
It's also, you know, save you a lot of money, so you're not going off spending whatever it is, $3.95 on a latte.
We were just talking about that outside.
Chatted to the money doctor earlier on in the week. He was talking about the amount of money people spend on just buying takeaway coffees when they're trying to save money. So there you go. So that is called the Nanopresso. How much does that one come in at then?
It's $69.95.
Okay, so once it's done, then you got your on the coffee go. Pretty cool for any coffee lovers in your life. The next thing is probably the toy that people have been playing with the most, which is called the Air Shot. So maybe Dermot, you will explain the Air Shot and how it works while I turn it on.
The Air Shot is like a machine with little polystyrene balls, 5 polystyrene balls, and the air pushes them up and up, so they're just hovering there in midair, and you have to get the gun.
So I have to shoot
it. You have a dart in the gun and you have to try and shoot the balls.
So
as they're in midair.
Now, how many people tried this outside? I don't know. 7 or 8. Did anybody actually hit any of the balls?
Yes, they did. Your guest who was on before.
Father Michael did.
2 in a row, yes.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He was the best shot. We called him Josie Wales.
Oh, nearly.
I'm literally like 2 feet from the thing and I still can't hit it. That is pathetic.
But it is. It's great fun for the whole family, like kids up to adults, as you saw.
Well,
yourself.
Everybody outside.
There was no kids out there, and there was a lot of fun.
They did not want me to take this particular gadget away. I love it because it'll get everyone involved.
Exactly,
you can. It's a brilliant game to play indoors with the family.
Great for
and
Christmas
morning.
And
it's not expensive.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, it's only $24.95.
That is the Air Shot.
Reasonable, yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
We'll stop the air in the Air Shot. So that's $24.95. Great game to play, as you say, with all the family, young and old alike. Brings out the kid in you. Okay, this is called the mini metallic keychain light. Does what it says on the box, I presume.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a very powerful light.
It's a very powerful. Bright. It's a key ring light.
So if you're hiking or whatever, and
just general use throughout the day. Even it doesn't have to be hiking.
Drop something on the ground when you get out of the car. It's super bright. You could try one there if you want to.
There's one there.
It's
to just try
to see how bright. It's
380 lumens, which is very bright for something so small. As you can see, it's tiny.
Step one is turn it on, Wendy.
Yeah, hold the button.
Just hold the button there. There you go.
You're now in the spotlight. Yeah, well done. It is. Wow,
it's very
really
bright. If you look into the light, you see how bright it really is.
Very. I won't do that this morning. Very handy just to have on your
keyring. In the dark,
Okay, so the next thing we have is, I like this one, for all the handy men and women listening to Spirit Radio. It's called the magnetic wristband. So basically, it kind of looks like, you know, the things you run with if you put your iPod or phone into it. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Little armband. But you put it on your wrist. It's magnetic. So say you are doing some DIY.
Yeah, we're hammering nails, screwing, and they, hanging and pictures, anything, yeah.
Have you ever had that situation where it drops on the floor and you can't find it?
And you're holding the picture. All the time. Trying to hold the shelf and reach for the screw at
or
the
you
same
can't
time.
Find it. Yeah. You're thinking of a small child crawling around the floor going, oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's brilliant. So this is, it's such a simple thing, but it's so clever, so
simple,
handy.
Basic,
so it has a little elastic strap, so obviously will fit all wrists and all that sort of stuff. And it's just a tenner, so tenner, very good for anyone handy in your life or anyone who you're trying to encourage to be handy.
Yeah,
this will help you get going on hanging up those photos you've been
Give
saying.
The hint.
The next one is, it looks like some sort of interesting wallet. Tell me about this.
That's it's a new range of wallets we're doing. The Dango is the name of the wallet, but that's a Dango.
What is special about
tactical,
this?
That's a tactical TO1 wallet. So it has a multi-tool built in within it.
So basically, this is like the Bear Grylls wallet, essentially. What do the tools do?
The tools, well, you have bottle openers, screwdrivers, spanners, paracord tighteners, blades, 14 different tools.
What sort of a day are you going to have when you have this wallet in your pocket?
Yeah.
And the lads have actually put money in it for me as well, which is great. Thanks
and it's
very
RFID
much.
Blocking as well, so it protects your cards from being scanned.
Ah, right. So if it's in your, that's one of those scams, isn't it? Brilliant. Yeah. So how much is that?
That one is €109, I think.
And that's because it's got all the tools and all that
well,
sort
it has
of stuff.
Well, it's a special Cherokee finish on it as well, which is like a military grade finishing.
Very good. That is a serious gift.
They are, yeah. They'd be a tactical wallet.
What else am I missing? Okay, we've got the Beard Buddy. I love it.
This
so
is what I have to get.
you know, I need to do a little bit more growing there now. In terms of the hipsterness of beards these days, a lot more men sporting beards.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this.
So basically this attaches around your neck if you're going to trim your beard or shave your stubble or whatever. And then it has two sucker pads
suction
on the end.
You stick them on the mirror.
Stick them on the mirror so all the hairs drop into
so
this.
It catches
and
them
keeps
off.
It nice
so they don't
clean.
Go all over the bathroom
exactly.
floor, all
Correct.
Over the sink and clog the sink and then you can just
exactly.
put it in the bill. It's actually really clever.
Yeah, it is very
it is,
clever. Yeah.
It's another one that's quite simple but very clever.
It's quite
clever,
simple
yeah?
but very, very cool. And that is 12-year. That is called the Beard Bunny. And I think I have a final one which is the Key Smart, which is the compact key holder. I have seen these before. They are fantastic. So basically, this is where your keys all go into one. How would you explain it? Into a little holder,
an
so they're not dangling.
Organizes
a key organizer. Very good. And obviously very good quality and all that sort of stuff. Easy to put together.
They're simple enough. It'll hold 2 to 8 keys as well. And then you can get expansion packs for them as well.
And then there's a little hook for your car key, which obviously is not going to go into because that's bigger. And that is
$19.95.
A great thing on your website. Oh, have I got everything? I missed one. Here's
this one.
So this is the handbag light and USB power bank. Tell me more.
But apparently, women spend 75 hours.
Really?
Looking for things in their handbags.
That's
so
funny.
These guys come up with this idea of putting in a handbag light. This is a newer version. It actually is a power bank as well, so it can charge your phone and help you find things in your bag.
That's brilliant. And you know what? Everybody in the radio station was telling me the amount of times I'm running around, I can't find my car keys, and you end up having to turn
the
handbag upside down what comes out of it? Books, bananas, soothers, Janie. You don't want to be turning your handbag upside down in the office. That is brilliant. It's so clever. How much is that?
That's $29.95.
And of course, you guys have such a huge selection of stuff. There's the usual stuff, a great selection of drones. Drones are still really, really popular. But you have a great section on the website that is for kind of stocking fillers, which is brilliant. One of them that I really liked, which I think is so, so handy, was the Run Tech belt. So you can put it around your waist when you're running.
It's very practical as well.
It's very practical because if you're wearing, even if you're wearing a zip up with pockets, the weight isn't distributed right. Mm. But a lot of the time you don't want to be wearing loads of layers.
It's not moving.
The RunTech belt you can put in your phone, your keys, your money, and it's all in the belt, and that's €12. So really good for anyone who's into running. I just think it's a real cool.
I have one myself.
And one of them that I think is a really good idea is a personal travel alarm. So basically this goes on your key ring. And if you feel that you're in a vulnerable situation or whatever, it sets off a very loud alarm.
Very loud.
It's very simple. You just pull the key ring out.
So it's kind of one of those things that if you were feeling nervous, just pull it.
Well, for anybody, even joggers, even just because Yeah, male or female. It's going
to startle people because it's so loud. That's and it's going to attract attention as well.
So it gives you the
really
chance
enjoyable.
To just pull it and then run, basically.
Wipe a few seconds,
Yeah, that you need. So that's a very, very practical present. It's personal travel alarm and it's €18. There's so much more. Probably the best thing for people to do if they're looking for some lovely Christmas gift ideas. And there's some really great stuff. I love it because the guys have brought in today stuff that you can play with together as a family. The AirShot at $24.95. Fun stuff, but practical stuff like the beard buddy for those bearded men in your life, and some eco stuff like growing your own peppers. I love it. So there's a really great selection of stuff. So thanks so much, Eamon Dermot, for coming in to us today.
Thank you.
You should pop into the guys if you're in Dundrum Shopping Centre or in Jervis Shopping Centre either, and they will be there and they'll help you with all the different gadgets that they have. And of course, you can go onto their website as well. As I said, loads of great ideas on there, and the stocking filler section is really, really good as well. You can go to their website, thegadgetstore.ie. Eamon and Dermot Kelly, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.